come to you this evening, Lord, and we're asking, Father, for you to guide us now through the teaching of your word, dear Father. And we ask, God, for those that were not able to be here tonight, Father, you know their needs. I ask, God, that you'll meet them. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn from your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There was a portion of chapter 10 that we actually covered when we were speaking about the eating of the meat and things like that, and not being a stumbling block. And so we actually took a portion of that, those verses, and spoke on those then. But I want to speak on the from the first 15 verses. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat, to drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. You may be seated. Paul here is speaking of Israel when they come out of Egypt. And, you know, they, as the scripture says, Jesus actually makes a statement and said, your fathers did eat in manna in the wilderness, and they're all dead. And hear that all of them that came out of Israel, they, if you realize, God, when God blessed them, he blessed all of them, everyone that came out. And remember, when those blessings were falling, Korah and Dathan were among those that were being blessed. And then you remember where it gives the account of the 12 spies and how that they went into the land, and 10 of them came back and gave an evil report of the land. All of these ones, they were all there. They all ate of the manna that rained down out of heaven that they went out and picked up off the ground and ate. They all come through the Red Sea, as Paul said, were baptized. And they, you know, God provided for all of them. And when they crossed the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army went to follow them, and then was drowned in the sea, and when Miriam rejoiced, and that, they, all of Israel rejoiced about it. They were rejoicing over the blessings of God. But we also see that they were continuously, whenever they were faced with something, instead of trusting God, knowing that God had been the one that had brought them out, they always murmured about it. And there was times that they looked at the conditions and the situation, no matter how much God was taking care of and blessing them, they began to think, maybe we would have been better off back there. We should have stayed back there in Egypt. And, you know, they even complained because the food was bland. You know, we should have been stayed back there where there was garlic and onions and herbs and spices and things. Here we are here, and look at the way it is. You know, they were always murmuring. But God still, when he rained down his blessings, you know, Korah got blessed right alongside Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. And Brother Branham was talking about this. He said he was thinking about the scripture in Hebrews 6, where it says that it's impossible for those who were enlightened and once partakers of the Holy Spirit, seeing they fall away, to renew themselves again in repentance. And for the rain falls oft upon the earth, it watereth it and dresseth it, which is prepared, but that which is nigh unto rejection, thorns and thistles, is to be burned. And Brother Branham talked about when he was thinking on these things and that scripture, and he had a vision. And in the vision, he saw someone go forth and it sowed seed in the earth. And then he saw there was another one that came, and he sowed bad seed. And so when the wheat that was sowed came up, why, there was weeds and tares and that came up with it. And, it went through a dry time. And so when the head of the wheat bowed over, well, the head of the tare bowed over. And then the rain came. And when the rain came and fell upon it, why, the weed raised its head up to rejoice with the rain, he said, but also so did the tares. And as the Bible says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And so, what Brother Branham was pointing out about this particular scripture when he was speaking on it in the message of Corinthians, the book of corrections, he said that, you know, you realize they were all there eating of the same manna, just like people that come to the Lord or, you know, come to a message church. And they're sitting there, and at the time Brother Branham's speaking of it, there wasn't really message churches. There was, you know, Brother Branham was speaking out amongst the people, the denominations were gathering them, people from different denominations and all that he was speaking to. And Brother Branham was speaking that here they are sitting under the word, and they're all hearing the same word. They're all partaking of the same word. And there was rejoicing in that. But that... That's not where your security's at. You know, Paul says, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and hath not charity, you know, that I'm nothing. You know, I'm lost if I don't have charity, if I don't have love. And so it's, you know, too many people, Brother Branham says, they have rested their eternal security on sensations, on, well, I felt the power. And he says, I don't doubt they might not have felt power, but you can't rest on that as being secure. Because, you know, the Bible said, Jesus said, many will come to me in the day of judgment, and they'll say, you know, did I not heal the sick and cast out devils and do many wonderful works in thy name? And Jesus never denied that they'd done those things. And how would they do those things? They would do those things by God's word and by the Spirit of God. But he said, I never knew you. Meaning they never actually were born again. They did all these wonderful works. They rejoiced in the church. The blessings of God, when it rained down out of the church, why it fell on everyone. And you know, and we have we have witnessed in our own midst over the years that we've been here, many that's come in, and they come in and they were baptized and they sit down and they sit with us and they rejoice over the word that's preached, and they go out and say, oh, how wonderful it was, and, you know, and then as time passes, what happens is the same thing that happened to Israel. What kept Israel out of the promised land? Their own unbelief. What made them want to turn back to Egypt? Their own unbelief. Though they ate of the manna that fell out of heaven, though they drank from the water that came forth from a rock, they still had unbelief. And it was their own unbelief that made them want to turn. And it's the unbelief of those that we have been had in our own midst, in our journey, that have turned and walked out and walked away to that. What it was their unbelief. They sat here and they rejoiced with us. They heard, look, friends, many of them could spout out the terminology of the message. I had them come to me and actually at times in the back over the years, and you know, here they were quoting the message. How many people we have today all around the world that quote the message? And many of them, they quote it for their own ends. They quote what they want to quote to prove what they're wanting to do, how they're wanting to stand, or what they're wanting to believe. You know, I look back through my life, years even from my youth, from the times of my childhood in this message and on up, and I watch, you know, and you see why there was women with long hair and wearing long dresses and men with their hair cut, and you know, and they were dressing holy and dressing to a standard, but many of them were doing it in a legalistic frame of mind. They did those things like as if them doing it, them alone doing it, made them holy and righteous. And yet, as Jesus would say to the Pharisees, they were full of dead men's bones. Because they had this outward appearance, but nothing had ever happened in the heart. And that's the exact reason why we've seen over the past several years, we've seen so many preachers and churches and people that have actually walked out away from the message, went back to denominationalism, and went off into their own directions and things. And you know, they and the thing about it is, you know, they can't just leave. They got to see how much bad they can say about the message. But yet, at one time, they were rejoicing right along with the true believers today about the message, about the prophet. But then, you know, then their colors show. By their fruits, Jesus said, you shall know them. And so what's happening? Why are these people leaving? Because, friends, we're at the harvest time. This is the time when the fruit is in the top of the tree and is showing. Whatever's in the person's heart is coming out. So it takes more. You know, there's people that will, like I said, they wear long hair, they wear long dresses, they go to church regularly, they give their tithe, and they give offerings, they do all these things, you know, and that. But many of them are doing it out of like a duty. Out of like, well, if I do this, then I'll be okay. And the problem is they never move on into the baptism of the Holy Ghost and get a change of heart. And that's what Paul's talking about. They all did eat the same spiritual manna. They all drank water from the rock. About all over the years, not just here at our church here in Dixon, but back even many of you have in your past had been in other message churches and that. And just think about over the time even, you know, even preachers that were, that preached what they thought was mysteries of this message. And yet now look at them, they've become castaways. To think a man could actually preach the gospel, preach this end time message, and then end up lost. Why? Because they never were born again. You know, when I came here, I had people that used to come here, they would come in and say, we don't trust preachers. We've been wronged by preachers so many different times that we don't trust preachers. Friends, look, the problem was, if they ever were trusting, if they were trusting men. And then those very ones that said those things to me, look where they're at today. They're in the same condition of what they were accusing these false preachers of being. They've left the church. They've left the message. Why? Because they were never born again. Friends, look, in my lifetime, I have heard some great preachers. I've heard men that I'm telling you could just captivate you while they were preaching. Time would pass. You had no idea how much time had passed. They so captivated your attention. They were such great preachers. And I've witnessed some of them same ones turn around and leave the message. Some of them actually years ago, when I was yet just a teen, not in this mass exodus that seems to have been taking place over these recent years. How can someone be raised in this message and set under the, in hearing this word and be taught by born again parents and walk out and go to the tables that's full of vomit? Because they were never born again. They never had that real experience. That thing that's on the inside that changes you on the inside, changes who you are. Makes you different than how you were. I don't mean just a dress up on the outside. Friends, look, I've seen them go through all kinds of things of, well, you know, these toys are evil and bad, so we're going to get all these types of toys out of our house and that, you know, and we're going to get this out of the house and we'll get that out of the house, and next thing you know, they're out of the house. They're out of the house of God. It's done. It's gone. People come to church and they say they've repented. But Paul said that's what he was talking to the Corinthians church about. They had come, they were baptized, they were sitting under the revealed word of their hour. But they never moved on in to really have an experience, let God do something in their heart. Why? Because many times it's because there are things they're not wanting to actually let go of. But friends, I've seen folks that, like I said, they dress like message people. They, you know, long hair and all these women like that, you know, and they have that look that was, you know, so associated with the message people. and have the most horrible spirits about them. Have this presentation on the outside. But yet they speak ill of other people. They'll speak ill of those that are supposed to be their brothers and sisters. Hold grudges? I'm going to tell you something. You can't hold grudges and go to heaven. Jesus said, you have to be able to forgive, that your Father in heaven will forgive you. And if you can't forgive others, then he won't forgive you. You got to be able to forgive and go on. Now, I've had folks that I've had dealings with in the past that, you know, they would take things like that that was said about, well, you know, you ought to just be able to forgive me and just let those things go and forget about it. But really what they wanted you to do is go on and just accept them now living in the sinful way they wanted to live. Don't hold that against me, what I've done. But this is the way I'm going to continue to live. You know, they didn't want to actually show forth fruit meet for repentance. Repentance is not just saying you're sorry for what you've done. It's turning from those things. Leaving those things behind. Not continuously doing them. A man who years ago, you know, he was a preacher. And my father had some dealings with him and things, and this man, he said, you know, you're doing these immoral things. And so the preacher said to me, he goes, well, you know, I asked God to forgive me and I'm okay till I do it again. Now I realize that we can be repeat offenders. I realize that many times we, because we're humans, we'll fall into the same snares and traps sometimes. But to really repent of something is to turn from it. Not feel bad about it and say, Lord, I'm sorry, and then next week go do the same thing. Knowingly go do the same thing. When you knowingly go do the same thing, that's actually iniquity. When a person has been born again of the Spirit of God, it changes their heart. It changes their desires. There's many people that come, and you know, they come in and they're baptized. They're justified. They come in, they're baptized, they say, I'm sorry for my sins, I repented of these things, and that, you know, and actually many of them actually have a work of sanctification in their life that cleans them up. And many of them, they stop the things they were doing. They stop the smoking and the drinking and all these different things, you know, and the cussing and swearing and all this, you know, and they get cleaned up and all that, you know, and they fellowship with you and they testify with you and they worship with you. And many times you know, we get fooled. You know, generally, when a person tells us, oh, you know, I want to make things right. I want to do right. As Christians, we want to accept and believe that. But I'm telling you, friends, you need to discern the spirit. If a person's saying, I want to do what's right, but you see their pattern and what they're doing is headlong wrong, then they're lying to you. realize there are individuals that the way they're made up, if they've got motives, they've got something they want to get. Many times they got something they want from you. Sometimes it's just attention. And so they'll tell you what they think you want to hear. And because you actually do want to hear that, you want to just take that and rejoice about it. But let their life prove it. Let their life prove it. There are individuals that, friends, they cycle in and out of the church. They come to church and the next thing, they act like your brother and your sister, and they rejoice with the word and all these things, and they can speak all the message terminology. And then after a while, they're gone. And they're gone for a while, you know, and then the next thing you know, you hear from them again. And they tell you, I'm thinking about coming back to church. Well, what's stopping you? Why do you got to think about coming back to church? If you know what's right, just do what's right. You know, and we as Christians and people, we actually really like to see the best in people. We really do. When somebody says, I want to serve the Lord, we want to believe it. And we generally, when we get happy about it. But what we need to do is we need to watch and see, friends. Let's see a change happen in their life. It takes more, from reading this scripture, it takes more than just being able to talk about the seals. It takes more than just being able to talk about the church ages. It takes more than someone coming in and saying, "Oh, I tell you what, I believe in that third pool." That's just all message terminology. Quote the message. Listen to tapes, read the books, have this quote and that quote and this quote and that quote, but never been born again. How many is it going to be when the rapture takes place that claim to believe this message that don't make it? Because why? Because as Jesus said, I never knew you. They were never born again. They never got the Holy Ghost. You know, I've seen, witnessed in my time back in the denominations, you know, how they would have people cycle in and out of the church. I witnessed from my relatives when that were in the Church of God, how they would have people cycle in and out of the church, and they'd come in, you know, and then they would say all kinds of Christian phraseologies, you know, and you know, give God credit for this and God credit for that, you know, and I've seen it around the message. I seen a woman come here one time, and she said, "You know, I've been in and out of church through my life, and every time I left church, I always blamed it on somebody else." And she said, "The next time I'm not going to blame it on somebody else." I guess she didn't, but she didn't stay. When she made the statement, I thought, it was like she was actually making a proclamation that I am going to eventually leave again. But this time, I won't blame you or the church. In the past, I did. Y'all are familiar with the phrase that you've, no doubt, have heard so many different times of people who leave church, well, it's just a bunch of hypocrites down there. And while they were here, why did they make those statements? Because while they were here, they were looking around trying to find fault with other people. And why were they trying to find fault? Because they were looking to justify themselves. Well, I'm not as bad as they are. It's just like the Pharisee that come up and said, "Thank God I'm not like this publican." Those people, friends, look, they never have a born-again experience, and they don't really want to give up things, and they don't want to really live right, but to try to justify themselves, to try to make themselves feel more righteous, they look around to point out the faults of others. Well, look, we've all got faults. We're human. We're in this flesh. This flesh is full of faults. I don't know about you, but I don't really need anybody pointing out my faults. I can see the faults I've got.
Amen.
The Bible says confess your faults. It didn't say confess your brother's faults or your sister's faults. It said confess your own. So they were all baptized unto Moses through the Red Sea. They all followed that same spirit being the cloud, the pillar of fire. They were led by the same angel. They came out by the same pastor. They were all baptized in the sea. They all eat that spiritual manna, the manna. And he said, come down every night from heaven and sustain the people in their journey. And they eat of the same spiritual blessings. Therefore, the Holy Spirit can fall right in amongst the people, and both Christians and lukewarm and half-believers and borderline believers will all eat the same. Friends, look, you don't have to be able to explain the scriptures. You don't have to be able to explain the message. You've got to believe it and have the Holy Ghost on the inside that's changed you. Friends, look, God didn't call us all to be preachers. God speaks through preachers to try to explain and break things down and make them understandable. To actually bring the teaching of the word. He didn't make everybody like that. He doesn't need you to be able to teach it or even be able to explain it. I've witnessed people that have got around me that they were, you know, they were always trying to say something spiritual while they were around. You know, they were always trying to think of something spiritual they could say. I don't know whether they were trying to impress me or whether they were trying to convince themselves they were all right. You don't need to be able to always say something spiritual. What you've got to do is believe. And be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because like I said, there's many out there that could sit down and try to some of them could impress you with some of the things that they seem like they could put together and explain out the message, and them not even preachers. But realize this, there are people out there right now that claim to believe this message that can take quotes and explain to you why God doesn't even use the fivefold ministry anymore. But realize this, that means they got to leave some of it out. I'll use their quotes plus all the other quotes to show you what's right. So it's not about, you know, there's a lot of folks that I've met over the years that had a lot of knowledge of the message. Brother Branham said they were intellectual believers, actually, so Brother Branham identifies them. They had a lot of knowledge of the message, of the terminologies of the message. They could, you know, some of them could explain to you what the seals were, all the way up, many of them, to the seventh seal. Then they were lost. That just shows they could read and retain what they read. That didn't prove anything. I don't know about some of you. I don't know how many years actually that you've been in the message and that. But see, I can remember back in times. I'm sure Brother Phil can. Times back in during the 70s. And you know it was all, you know, and there were some people that was all about, you know, having an eagle belt buckle. Some of them would take and. And, you know, and everybody had an eagle in their house. They had pictures of Brother Branham and an eagle and the Hoffman's Head of Christ and an eagle. And when you seen that, they were a message believer. And there was some that actually took those same eagles that they hung on the wall in their house, took it out and wired it to the grill of their car. I'm serious. These things, that's true what I'm telling you. And there were those that made, if you excuse the way I'm going to express this, they made like their pilgrimage out to the places in Arizona where Brother Branham had, you know, saw these different things take place and happen. They wanted to see these things. And they made their way, you know, people that made their way to Jeffersonville every Easter and would go up and visit the grave of Brother Branham. Friends, look, I'm not trying to criticize this, but I've never been to Brother Branham's grave. And I don't see a reason really for me to go. I guess if I'm ever over that way and around there, then I'll do it. But I'm not waiting on him to come back. I'm waiting on the return of Jesus Christ. I know Brother Branham will come back when the dead in Christ rise. He'll come back the same as the other saints that have went by the way of the grave and are resurrected. And then we, which are alive and remain, will be changed. And they'll pick up, they're coming back to pick up their glorified body. And we're going to receive our glorified body. And then we'll be caught up together. Amen. To meet who? Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it's about. And you know, it doesn't matter. You say, well, I can't really explain water baptism. I really can't explain the Godhead. That's not a requirement. The requirement is you must be born again. That's the difference. There is a difference between the born-again believer that sits and hears this end-time message and so-called message believers that's never been born again. You realize, friends, there are people who are simply following this because they had to follow something. If they weren't following the message, they'd be following something else. It just so happens someone with it crossed their path. Somewhere it crossed their path. You know why people call the message a cult? It's because we've got cultish-like believers around us. I used to have this, I lost it, but I used to have these videos of these different men of God. And, and they were, this series was covering the ministry of these different men. And on the very last DVD, it actually covered the ministry of William Branham. But you got to realize, this wasn't by a message person. This was just by somebody who was had showing clips and pictures and different things from these different men like Jack Cole and different ones, you know. And they showed clips from their meetings, and some of it were little videos from their healing meetings and different things. And they were actually just kind of giving an overall view history of these different people. And so this person, they gave what they viewed of Brother Branham and this message. And some of the things they mentioned was about people making a pilgrimage up to Jeffersonville to Brother Branham's grave. And people standing around the grave and people saying that he's going to come back. Then you wonder why some people call it a cult. Now, I realize there's some people that call it a cult just because, you know, it's just an easy word for them, and they really don't want to serve God. They don't want to actually give up the things of the world. They want to live like the world and dress like the world and act like the world and still feel they're okay. And you can't really do that and say you believe this message. I mean, I know there's people that say they believe this message, and I've seen it worldly-like people. But many of them, to live the way they want to live, they have to leave the message. But I've watched some of them that I've known that have left the message, and I remember them from the times through my life and watching the Spirit of God fall in a service. And the Spirit of God fall on them. And them rejoice. And then walk out and leave it. Do you realize there's some people that they don't ever claim actually to leave the message. They still claim to believe the message is real. They just don't go to church. And you get around them, and they are just as religious as ever. And they can, you know, they'll want to sit down and talk about what they know about the message and everything, but they never go to church, never come under a pastor. The Bible says, where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. I want to tell you something, friends. Real believers, born-again believers, they go to church. They go to church to hear the word of God. They want to feast on the word of God. They can't get enough of it. There's a desire in that individual. They're wanting to grow into the stature of a perfect man. They're wanting to reach the maturity that is needed in their life to actually go in the rapture. I've been kind of watching as services have went along through the, as we've been studying on the, in the book of Corinthians, and I've been kind of waiting for chapter 11, and because not in the first part of chapter 11, but on in chapter 11, Paul covers actually about communion. And so I was thinking in my heart that what I would do is, because we don't always have everybody here on Thursday night, and so I was wanting to have communion, and so I was thinking I would just take that portion of Corinthians 11, and instead of bringing it on Thursday night, I'll actually preach on it on a Sunday morning, and we can have communion in that. And so what I had in my heart was to actually do that, not this coming Sunday, which is the 22nd, but the Sunday after that, which is the 29th of October. And so I just wanted to put that, I'll announce it again on Sunday. And because originally when I felt it, I thought I would just do it on a Thursday night, but I see there are some that actually aren't able to be here on Thursday night. And I know, like, Brother Paul and Sister Susie aren't able to be here on Thursday nights. You know, Brother Paul has trouble with his eyesight and driving at night and things like that. And so I want everybody to be able to have the opportunity to partake of it. And so I'm looking for October 29th, that Sunday. So I just wanted to make that announcement, put that out there to you. I'm looking at, and I'll make an announcement later on, not this coming month, but I'm looking at actually in December, maybe the first Sunday in December, that having a church dinner here. And so I just kind of put that out there. It's something I'll announce as time goes on and we get on closer to it. I'm going to be here two more Sundays, this Sunday the 22nd and this Sunday the 29th, and then I'll be here that Thursday, which is, second or third, that Thursday, and then the Sunday, which is the 5th, I'll be gone, and then the Sunday after that, I'll be gone too. Mina and I are going away for our anniversary, and so we're going to be gone for a little over a week and a couple of Sundays, and then when I get back, we're going right on into close to time for Thanksgiving. There's one weekend that we'll have when I first get back, and then after that weekend, that following week is Thanksgiving, and that's why I'm saying about the church dinner. I'm looking at maybe putting it into maybe the first Sunday in December. And so I just wanted to mention those things since they were on my heart and get them out there. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening, Father, and for this word, Lord. And Lord, how that these things, Lord, speak so to our heart, dear God. And it's the word, Lord, actually shines a light on things. And Lord, it as it shines a light, it exposes things for what they are. It exposes the real believers, Father, and it exposes the workings of the enemy. And Father, it exposes the make-believers and the unbelievers as well, Lord. And Lord, it makes things clear, Father, that we can, as we look in your word, and it, to me, Father, it's so amazing how that we can look into your word, the Bible, that was wrote many years and years ago. And we can see that it actually shines a light on what's going on today. And Lord, helps us to understand where we're at and the things we've experienced and what we are currently experiencing. Lord, I pray your blessings on the people tonight. Father, go with them. Many of them have work tomorrow. I pray you'll be with them, Father, and be with them, those that are on the road and those that work from home and the different things, Lord, that you'll just be with them and keep them safe. Bring us back here at the appointed time on Sunday, we pray in Jesus' name.